भगवते वासुदेवाय ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय Canto 7, text 15, chapter 15, text 75. Yuyam nuloke bata buri bhaga, lokam punana munyo biyanti, hesham gruhan dvasastiti saksan, गुदाम परम ब्रह्म मनुष्यलिंगम यूयम ऑल ऑफ यू पांडवस नृलोके इन दिस मटेरियल वर्ल्ड बट इंडीड हुरिभाग एक्सट्रीमली फॉर्चुनेट लोकम ऑल द प्लैनेट्स of the universe. Punana, who can purify? Munayaha, great saintly persons. Abhiyanti, come to visit, just like ordinary persons. Yesam, of whom? Gruhan, the house of the Pandavas. Avasati, resides. Iti, thus, Saksat, directly, Gudam, very confidential, Param, transcendental, Brahma, the Parabrahman, Krishna, Manushyalingam, as if an ordinary human being. Translation and purport by His Divine Guest, S.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada ki. Srila Prabhupada ki. Thank you. My dear Yudhishthi, you Pandavas are very fortunate in this world that many, many great saints who can purify all the planets of the universe come to your house just like ordinary visitors. Furthermore, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Krishna, is living confidentially with you in your house just like your brother. Prabhupada, here is a statement exalting a Vaishnava. In human society, a Brahmana is the most respected person. A Brahman is one who can understand Brahman, the impersonal Brahman, but hardly ever can one understand the Supreme Personality of Godhead, who is described by Arjuna in the Bhagavad Gita as Param Brahma. A Brahmana may be extremely fortunate in having achieved Brahma Gyan, but the Pandavas were so exalted that the Parabrahman, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, was living in the house like an ordinary human being. The word Buri Bhaga indicates that the Pandavas were in a still higher position than Brahmacharis and Brahmanas. In the following verse, Narad Muni repeatedly glorifies the position of the Brahmanas. Namam Vishnupadaya Krishna Prasthaya Bhutale श्रीमते भक्ति वेदांत स्वामी ती नमिनी नमस्ते सरस्वती देवे गौरवाणी प्रचारिणे निर्विशेष शून्यवादी प्रश्चत देश तारिणे जय श्री कृष्ण चैतन्य प्रभु नित्यानंद श्री अद्वैत गदाधर शिवासदि गौर भक्त हरे कृष्ण कृष्ण हरे 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 राम 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 हरे Everyone can repeat. My dear Maharaj Yudhishthira, you Pandavas are so very fortunate in this world that many, many great saints who can purify all the planets of the universe come to your house just like an ordinary visitor. Furthermore, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Krishna, is living confidentially with you in your house, just like your brother. So the Pandavas were very, very fortunate. The word he used is Bhuri Bhaga, extremely fortunate. Must have been very nice, beyond being able to conceive what it must be like to have Krishna living with you every day, talking with you, walking with you, sharing all your challenges with you, eating prasadam with you, dancing with you. So, Bhuri Bhaga, meaning extremely fortunate. How many of you think that you have part of Bhuri Bhaga inside you? Bhuri Bhaga means extremely fortunate. How many of you think you're fortunate? Wow, okay. Right. Saranga Thakur, why are you so fortunate? What do you think?
Because I got the chance to serve this wonderful mission to the Jagat.
See, perfect answer. Got a chance to meet Srila Prabhupada's mission. We are all very, very fortunate because we have Krishna Balaram here, we have Prabhupada and Prabhupada's guidance and Prabhupada's Siksha here. And we have Chaitanya Charitamrita here also. And what's Lord Chaitanya saying? He's saying, Nitya Siddha Krishna Prema Sadhya Kabu Naya Sarvanadi Sudha Chite Karaya Udaya. Pure love for Krishna is eternally established in the hearts of living entities. What's Lord Chaitanya telling us? That pure love of Krishna is eternally established in our hearts. It is not something to be gained from another source. When the heart is purified by hearing and chanting, this love naturally awakens. So that's what Lord Chaitanya is saying, that this love is already there, it's dormant, it's there. It's inherent. We just have to bring it out. And there is a process to bring it out. You know? They say that like Narad Muni, who is giving instructions here to Yudhishthira Maharaj and the assembled devotees, that when Narad Muni would sing on his veena, then all the demigods would come and dance and chant with him. Even Indra would come and chant and dance with him. What to speak of Indra? Even Lord Brahma, he would come and chant and dance. So this way, when he would chant and dance, then he said even Krishna would come and chant and dance with him. Like Narad Muni sings that Narada Muni Bhajaya Vina Radhika Raman Na Name. Name means name. Who is Radhika Raman? Krishna, right? So in this context, I'd just like to read what Narad Muni is singing and how nice it must be to be in that part of Sankirtan. That when the great soul Narad Muni plays his veena, the holy name Radhika Raman descends and immediately appears amidst the kirtans of the Lord's devotees. Like a moon cloud, the holy name showers nectar in their ears. All the devotees, due to great ecstasy, repeatedly dance to their heart's content. All the people of the universe become maddened upon entering this intoxicating shower of nectar. Some people cry, some dance, and others become fully intoxicated within their minds. Lord Shiva, embracing Narad Muni, repeatedly makes loud screams of ecstatic joy, and Lord Brahma, dancing very ecstatically, says, all of you, kindly chant, Hari Bol, Hari Bol. See, even Lord Brahma is having fun. In great happiness, the thousands face Ananta Sesa chants, Hari, Hari. By the influence of the transcendental vibration of the holy name, the whole universe becomes ecstatically maddened and everyone tastes the mellows of the holy name. Bhaktivinod Thakur, the humble servant of the Lord, says, the holy name of Krishna has fulfilled all my desires by vibrating on everyone's tongue. Bhaktivinod Thakur's praise at the feet of Rupa Goswami. The chanting of Harinam may continue like this always. So this was a very special blessing that Narad Muni had, that he had the veena. We discussed last time how he got the veena. And he is chanting Radhika Raman, you know, calling upon Radhika Raman, because as soon as Krishna comes, everyone wants to be there. You know? Krishna was with Yudhishthira Maharaj and his family, and all the great saintly personalities were coming to his house. You know? These were the best personalities who could purify the universe, not just the earth planet, but they were the personalities who could actually purify the whole universe. And they were coming. Why were they coming? In this case, Narad Muni says to Yudhishthira Maharaj that your family is a very, very exceptional family. You know, normally grihasthas and kshatriyas, they go to the brahmanas, they go to the sadhus, they go to the sannyasis to take the blessings. But in your case, all these great personalities are coming to your house. That's why you are Bhuri Bhaga. You are extremely fortunate. Why? Because Krishna, the Supreme Personality of Godhead himself, is personally staying with you. So, one time, Narad Muni was, as we all know, he's blessed. We call it a curse by Shastric injunction, but it's a blessing that he cannot stay in one place for more than 3 days. And he doesn't actually want to stay in one place for more than a few moments, because he wants to continue traveling, preaching, and giving blessings, you know, to different personalities. So, one time he sees this Brahmana is performing such nice puja to his Shaligram Shila. And Narada Muni is pretty impressed, so he is observing. And this devotee is worshipping the Shaligram Shila very nicely. And then he is offering the bhog nicely. He is chanting and dancing in front of the Shila so nicely that even the other Vaishnavas who are living around his house, they also come. They also come to participate. And when the Vaishnavas come to his house, then as a Grihastha Brahmana, he follows the culture by receiving them nicely, honoring them nicely, and giving them prasadam nicely. Also, sometimes he would, if great saintly persons came to his house, he would wash their feet, take some chandamrita, sprinkle it over his head. So this way he was very expert Brahman, that he was doing everything with perfection. So when Narad Muni sees this, he feels, wow, such a nice, wonderful devotee. So he goes to him and gives darshan and declares that you are the greatest devotee. So the Brahmana turns around and says, no, you don't know. There is somebody much greater than me. In South India there is a king. I am only worshipping Shaligram Shila. And actually one point he also was doing was that after he would feed all the Brahmanas and everyone, he would go to his Shaligram Shila after everyone was gone, and he would pray and say, thank you so much. And then he's saying, any benefits that I have received by doing these services to you and also to all the Vaishnavas, I'm offering them back to you. Like, such a nice thing that we come and always pray to Krishna and we beg things from him, but we should actually be offering anything that we have received through his mercy back to him. Like Advaita Acharya was just taking a tulsi leaf and the little water from the Ganges and he's offering back into the Ganges. Right? When he's praying, such a powerful thing. It's just simple prayer like that with love and devotion and open heart. He's praying that Krishna decides to come as Lord Chaitanya. So he sends him to this king and telling him that this king is worshipping deity form. He's got the form of Krishna. He's worshipping the form of Krishna. And the king is so devoted that he personally does all the services himself. Despite ruling his kingdom, he's doing all the services himself. Offering different aartis, cooking for the deities, offering bhoga to the deities, and then distributing. So you please go to him. This way, you will see a greater person than me. So this goes on and he goes to the king and the king says, Are Baba, you are mistaken. I am an earthly human being. There is a heavenly planet out there and there is King Indra. All the demigods there are continuously worshipping. And of all of them, the most advanced one is Indra. He's the king of heavenly planets. No? In his kingdom, there is everything there. Even if you pick up a Parijat flower, just pick up one flower, and whatever you desire, that flower can fulfill your desire. What to speak of the cows that are giving unlimited milk? What to speak of all the other animals? They are making the environment so nicely. They are so friendly. So he's talking like this and saying that, so forget about this human here. You should go to King Indra. So then Narad Muni goes to Indra, and Indra is then sending him to Brahma, saying, look, in one day of Brahma, there is 14 Indras like me coming and going. How many? 14 Indras in one day of Brahma coming and going. So therefore, you should go to Brahma. And what more, Brahma is directly the son of Vishnu. And I am simply following Lord Brahma's commands like this. So this is going on, and then he goes to Lord Brahma, and Brahma saying, you are my son, didn't I teach you from childhood what to do? I give you so much instruction, why are you going around like this? I am simply a son of Lord Vishnu, and at his command, I am just trying my best to serve the Supreme Personality of Godhead. And even I make mistakes, and sometimes I create disturbance. Sometimes I give to boon to Hiranyakasipu, and sometimes I am giving boon to Ravana, and personalities like this. And therefore, I am not the greatest person. So he is sending him to Lord Shiva, and then Lord Shiva sends him to Lakshmi, and Lakshmi Devi is sending to Prahlad Maharaj, and Prahlad Maharaj is also saying, no, I am not the greatest. He is sending him to Hanuman, and Hanuman is saying that, I am simply a servant of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. I am also serving. So everyone is saying, I'm serving. So from this we can understand how the service attitude is so important to develop within us, that if we develop the service attitude, then we can make tremendous progress. Hanuman is saying that, you know what, you should go to Pandavas. Pandavas is saying, I have no idea what herb he has given to Lord Krishna, what magic is they have done to Krishna, that Krishna has become their order carrier. Krishna has become their order carrier. So if you want to know who is the greatest, then you go to the Pandavas. For the Pandavas, he is doing everything. He is even taking care of the shoes at the yagya when all the guests are coming. So I am completely baffled. I served Lord Ram and I was serving nicely, but this I cannot understand. How is it possible that the Supreme Personality of Godhead is staying in a Grihastha family who are Kshatriyas and Rajarishis, and he is serving them? So how and why? It's a nice point to understand. Krishna is Bhakta Vatsam, you know. Krishna is only looking for something very special in his devotees, and that is love. Without the love of devotees, Krishna is not happy. You can give him so many things, you can serve him in so many different ways, but unless we have an open heart, you know, like Srila Prabhupada, you know, he served his spiritual master, he performed tapasya in Vrindavan for such a long time with an open heart, and then finally he gets the blessings. He gets the blessings in such a way that he is able to travel and preach all over the world. And just like these great personalities are coming to see Yudhishthira Maharaj, so many great personalities on the earth planet, they came to see Srila Prabhupada. Non-stop, so many people were coming. Prabhupada was hardly sleeping for 2 hours, so many people were coming. There's one pastime when Srila Prabhupada was sitting in having a dialogue with one donor, and this donor was a nice gentleman. Mr. Gupta was a nice gentleman. And they're having a dialogue, and in between the dialogue, Srila Prabhupada he's inviting different devotees, please come take care of the banking, you please come take care of this. So these different points are being enacted upon by Srila Prabhupada, and then Gupta is saying that, you know, a sadhu is mostly a person who is only involved in chanting of the holy name. But you are a different sadhu. Why are you involved in all this management? You know? See, why are you involved in all these management activities? And Srila Prabhupada tells Mr. Gupta, come, come and put your ears on my back here and listen what's happening. So amazing. He was so amazed that from Prabhupada's body he could hear the chanting of the holy name. Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare. So sometimes we have this question, how did Srila Prabhupada chant 64 rounds? But in a body of a devotee, every atom is actively chanting and thinking of Krishna. That is what he is saying. If a devotee is really absorbed and connected to Krishna, then the whole body vibrates. Although we have a reflected body here, a transcendental body, Krishna can eat with his ears and he can do anything with any part of his body. So from that we can understand that any part of our body, if we are completely immersed in Krishna consciousness, we are completely absorbed in Krishna's service, then the holy name will rhyme, will resound throughout our body. And Guptaji could then understand, yes, this is a saint. It's a saintly person. So we have to take spiritual life in that context. The Pandavas, of course, they were not ordinary persons. Mother Kunti was also not any ordinary person, you know. Kunti was blessed by Durvasa Muni. Normally when Durvasa Muni would come, there would be fear. It's like some tax inspector is coming to the temple. Everyone's concerned, right? It's MVDA authority is coming with the bulldozer. Everyone's concerned. What are they going to break next? You know? So when Durvasa had performed many years of tapasya, just simply living on grass, dry grass. Not sabji, not khichdi, not dal, chapati, rice, simply on dry grass. That's why it's called Durvasa. But he had become so powerful that he could curse people. And when he would come to any palace, any kingdom, any residence, people would go out of their way to make sure that they do not offend Durvasa in any way. Because they knew if they made the slightest of mistake offending Durvasa would curse them and it would mean hellish planets for them. But Kunti was a young girl. And Durvasa came to the residence. Mother Kunti, as a young lady, she served him so nicely. No fear, just love and devotion, just like serving a father. You know? So then Durvasa was very happy. He was very pleased. The point is, that doesn't matter who's coming, doesn't matter what level they're coming from. If we have love and devotion for Krishna, Krishna as Paramatma is seated in their heart and our hearts also. And many times we see this transformation in demoniac people, you know, or demoniac personality, you know. Actually, everyone, even a dog, any animal, any animal bodies, everyone is a devotee of Krishna. It's just due to karma and by constitutional conditions that some people become demons and some become animals and some become loving animals and some are dangerous animals like lions and tigers. But that's karma. But a sadhu will look at all of these machines or bodies as part and parcel of Krishna. Durvasa was so pleased that he gave a boon to Kunti. That you can call upon any demigod and you can get the blessings. Which she was of course able to use afterwards when Pandu was cursed. Pandu was also like Dasaratha Maharaj. He was very expert shooting arrows. Just by hearing in a distance place, he could meditate and he could chant a mantra and release the arrow and that would go and hit right on the spot. He didn't have to see a bullseye to hit the dart in the right place, just by meditation. So such was Pandu's powers. But one time he thought that he was shooting a deer and he shot a rishi. So that rishi cursed him. And when he was cursed, then he could not have any children. So that time Mother Kunti said, no problem, I have a boon. You know, I have a boon, you can have children. So, you know, Arjun, Yudhishthir, the Bhima, Sahadev, Nakula, they appeared just from the blessings that Durvasa had given to Kunti. So Durvasa actually was not such a bad guy after all. And from that boon, she was able to bring. And who were these personalities? They were great personalities. Yudhishthir Maharaj is an emblem of Dharmaraj. It is said that when Yudhishthir Maharaj is riding his chariot, it was always like 14 fingers. I don't know why they say 14 fingers, but that's how it says, 14 fingers above the ground. The chariot was always 14 fingers above the ground. It never touched the ground until he told that one lie, which was instructed to do so by Krishna. But he slightly added a word to it, and therefore it became a light, you know. Instead of just saying Aswatthamahata, which Krishna told him also Aswatthamahata, and Bhima was instructed to kill an elephant called Aswatthama, and Krishna said, when the elephant dies, you say Aswatthamahata to Dronacharya, and then Dronacharya will believe you and give up the fight. But he said Aswatthamahata Naro Ya Kunjaro, right? So when he says, it could be an animal or a human being. So when he added that part, he deviated from following Krishna for that few moments, and therefore he had to pay for it. Therefore the earth touched the ground for the first time. So that was Yudhishthir Maharaj. He was Dharmaraj. Otherwise he never told a single lie. You know, truthfulness is the only pillar left in this age of Kali Yuga. And truthfulness is very important. It's very, very important for us to follow path of purity and truthfulness. And then Arjuna, he comes from Lord Indra. You have the two brothers, Nakul and Sahadev, they come from the Ashwini Kumaras. Bhima comes from Pavan Devata. Like this. These persons are coming. They are not born ordinary like from a womb of a mother. They are divine personalities. They have come to assist Krishna. And Krishna sees the love from the Pandavas that is emanating non-stop, and therefore he is able to live with them, he is able to reciprocate with them, he is able to run for them every time there is a danger. He is making arrangements, you know. Draupadi is about going to be disrobed and Krishna comes, you know. They are going in this house made of wax that is going to be burnt, and they are going to burn it now, and Krishna makes arrangements for them to escape. So many, you know, the pastimes of Pandavas. But these were the Pandavas, all the time they were going through difficulties, you know. And through all the challenges, they were always totally dependent upon Krishna. Totally dependent upon Krishna. Srila Prabhupada showed us by example how to be dependent upon Guru Parampara and Krishna Balaram for us. We have to simply follow. Remember when we first came, especially those of us who are full time in the temple, first we came, it was, you know, Bhakta Sam, Bhakta Tom, Bhakta, what are you? Bhakta Panchagoda, like this. We all had some designation as a Bhakta. And Bhakta is not a small thing to be. Bhakta means you are a servant of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. And then gradually we take initiation, and then we forget the importance of Bhakta. That Bhakta in inverted commas is our Bhuribhaga. You know, that is our great fortune, the first step towards the great fortune in coming to Krishna consciousness. And we should never forget that. If we may remember that how fortunate we were to come to in coming to this movement and taking shelter of Srila Prabhupada, we will always, even whether you take first initiation, second initiation, you become a Vanaprastha, you become a Sannyasi, if you remember that first step, you will always remain humble. And why that first step is important? That is when we acquire a lot of knowledge. And that knowledge is a prerequisite requirement, you know, for humility. Because without knowledge, how can we become humble? You know? Without knowledge and experience of practical life, how can we become humble? Humility is a very important part of our life in progressing in spiritual life. But in order to acquire humility, we must have that proper knowledge coming through the proper sources. And it comes to us from the proper sources, then it helps us to become humble in life, and we also will go through all challenges of life depending upon Guru and Gauranga. And that is what's really going to help us at the end of the day. We must always depend upon Guru and Gauranga, depend on the Vaishnavas, take Sadhu Sangha. All these prerequisites, you know, elements are very important for our life to be successful. Never ever allow the false ego to come in the way. When Lord Krishna leaves the planet and the Pandavas hear, immediately Yudhishthira Maharaj puts his crown down, everything starts walking, doesn't say a word. And immediately his brothers, they follow. Draupadi also follows like that. They don't stop to think for a moment, well, Krishna's not here, we have the kingdom, it's a great place, we have everything, no problem, Krishna take a break, we'll have a nice time. No. They immediately renounced everything because they know that if Krishna is not there, there is nothing there. Without Krishna, there is no life. To have that ability to renounce requires a lot of tapasya, a lot of surrender, and most important of all, a big open heart for Krishna, who is seated here to reciprocate with us. When we are able to do that, then we will be able to make the same kind of advancement, following the similar footsteps of the Pandavas, and more important for this age and for all of us, following the footsteps of Srila Prabhupada. Whatever is given us is unique. You know, we've been staying here 5 years, then our love and devotion and our practices should have multiplied 5 years' time. You know, it should be like unlimited multiplication of our devotional service, non-stop. We should never think, well, I've been here for 5 years, so now I'm fine. No. It means we've made a lot of advancement, continue making advancement, because there is no limits to making advancement. If for a moment, like Nakul and Sahadev, if you think I'm very handsome or I'm the most expert medicinal person who can do, give Ayurvedic medicine to people and cure so many people, for a moment, if that false ego comes, it will come, become a hurdle in your life. Even Arjuna was thinking, I'm the greatest archer. That became a big hurdle for him towards the end of his life. So do not allow the ego. You cannot push the ego away personally, but you can surrender to Krishna, and Krishna will help you to take care of false ego. Therefore, please chant the holy name and let's follow in the footsteps and instructions of Lord Chaitanya given to us by Srila Prabhupada. Srila Prabhupada ki Hare Krishna, 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 Hare Hare, Hare Rama, 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 Hare Hare. Any quick questions or comments or experiences? Yes, sir.
So we're understanding that Yudhishthira Maharaj and the Pandavas are special. Mm-hmm. But isn't everyone really special? They're all part of Krishna, Satchidananda Jagara. So what distinguishes one as being a special incarnation, or that they didn't misuse their independence in a wrong way? What did we do wrong?
Nice question. So, we understand that Pandavas were special, and aren't we all special? And at the same time, what is it that we think we may have done wrong? It's like when Narad Muni is giving understanding to Yudhishthira Maharaj. Initially, when Yudhishthira Maharaj is listening to the instruction of Narada Muni, and when Yudhishthira Maharaj is beginning to talk about Prahlad Maharaj, then suddenly he sees that Yudhishthira Maharaj appears to be sulking, his head goes down. It appears like he's in pain. So he's thinking similar to like what your question is. And then Narad Muni, he speaks out and says, "My dear Yudhishthira Maharaj, if I offended you in any way, please forgive me." Principle is to be able to identify and beg forgiveness, you know, for any mistakes that we may have done. And Yudhishthira Maharaj is saying, no, it's not that you have committed any offense. I'm just thinking, I'm here at such an age. Look at Prahlad Maharaj, from the womb, he was getting all this mercy of the Supreme Lord. And then from the age of 5, he's preaching. And we are here, 55 plus, and we are still sitting on the dais here, you know, contemplating about the kingdom and everything else. Whereas Prahlad Maharaj is simply completely surrendered and glorifying the Lord and promoting the glories of the Lord. So what is required is that we all have been through many lifetimes. We don't know how many lifetimes. And we are at a stage whereby Prabhupada's mercy, we are here in Krishna Balaram temple and we have all the guidelines. So there is one thing that we can do is certainly try and do a research, you know, go to a hypnotist and say, please take me through regression and find out what I was in the previous lives and everything, and try to go through the scientific methods, you know. And then finally when you find out, you still realize, I'm still the same body here now, you know. And how much can you trust the regression also? That I'm still the same body, and then maybe I should now follow Prabhupada's instructions, because I realized in the previous at least 3 lives, I had a really hard time, you know. Because in the material universe, there's no place. Even Lord Brahma is saying, go to the higher resources. Even I have to die one day. I also want to prepare how to not die anymore, you know. So like Prahlad Maharaj, we have to be totally surrendered to Krishna, regardless of whatever karmas we've been through, you know. And the Yuga Dharma is giving us a very, very simple process whereby we can actually be freed in this very lifetime. One time Prabhupada is asked the question that, so Prabhupada, how many lifetimes before I can go back home, back to God? And Prabhupada says, 1 minute. He says like, see, saw that video? He says, 1 minute. Prabhupada says, so boldly says, 1 minute. No, it's like that. So that 1 minute of pure dedication is required. It is important to know that we've been through so many lifetimes, but it's not so important to go into details of why we're here. But it's more important to understand what we can do, you know, so that we can rise on the platform, just like the Pandavas rose to the platform. You know, there's so many examples. Haridas Thakur, you know, Prahlad Maharaj, Dhruv Maharaj. So by looking at their examples, we can also follow in their footsteps. And what more, Prabhupada has given us a special privilege that you follow the regulative principles, follow your sadhana bhakti, do preaching, and at the end of the life, I will personally come and take you back home, back to Godhead. So, that's what we really should be doing. we had a dentist who was also a hypnotherapist in London. So he was doing hypnotherapy, but sometimes devotees used to go to him for dentistry. So some devotees started preaching to him, and then he said, wow, this is so interesting. He was always thinking there is a cycle of reincarnation, but he didn't understand the principle and the philosophy. So he read the Bhagavad Gita, and then he regressed some devotees, and there was some very interesting one or two examples. I say that one European African devotee, you know, he was hypnotized, and during his hypnotherapy in the previous life, he says, I'm of the bank of Ganges, and I have a Bhagavad Gita in my hand, and he's speaking everything in Bengali. He didn't know literally a word of Bengali, but during that period, he's regressed and he's talking, saying everything in Bengali. You know? When it was translated, then he said, yes, you're a devotee and, you know, used to read Bhagavad Gita. Somehow or another, he came into this life, and maybe Krishna wanted him to come and preach. He became a great preacher. You know? So, there are examples that can actually, you know, tell us that yes, chanting and dancing and following these footsteps of Srila Prabhupada is the most important thing. Thank you. Hare Krishna.